Stay tuned for The Lynn Show. Today, continuing my series of interviews with members of the Sarasota Ballet, I am playing an interview with Octavio Martin, who escaped with his young wife from Cuba, via Mexico, via Texas. It's an amazing story. Hang on. Here come the show.
Hearing from an inner voice, finding choice where there's no choice, with gentle prodding from the voice. Oh, you really can. Deeper, deeper down
The Lynn Show. The Lynn Show is about realizing that there is more to you than you may be aware of. It's about realizing that there's more, discovering the more that there is to you, and then, having discovered it, figuring out how to put it in play. Now, none of these things is particularly easy to do. And so I talk at length, and have been doing since the beginning of the show, about why we learn to hide some things about ourselves, how you can discover the things that you have hidden, and how to begin to put them into practice, and what to be on the alert for as you do it. In the last few shows, I've been talking about an exercise I give called the family pie, and how doing that exercise can help you figure out what you've hidden. I will continue to talk about that, but I'm not going to talk any more about that today, because today I'm playing an interview with an extraordinary man, Octavio Martin and his wife, whose interview I'm playing next week, by the way, escaped from Cuba. They were on tour in Mexico. This was a hair-raising experience for these two young people. And the story is exciting, scary, inspiring. And this interview went almost the entire length of my show. So I'm not going to talk anymore. I'm going to allow Octavio to tell you his story. If you want to know more about what I have said in the past shows, please go up on my website, thelynnshow.com, thelynnshow. You can click on the podcasts and listen to all of them. There are little descriptions of what I talked about, so you can pick and choose. But now, sit back and listen to an extraordinary story. Here is Octavio Martin. I am here with Octavio Martin in a dressing room in the Oslo.
Yeah.
And Octavio is a dancer with the Sarasota Ballet.
Yeah, I'm one of the principal dancers of the company.
Yes. Yeah. And I interview people who make their living or their life with an art, which clearly is what you are doing. Yes?
Yes. Positive.
Yes. And I know that you have a rather unique and amazing story, which I want to hear. But before that, I want you to tell us what I always ask everybody. How did dancing happen to you? How did you find it? How did it find you? How did you know that that was what you wanted to do?
Okay, it's my dad, my father.
Yes.
He unfortunately, he passed away like a month and a half ago.
Oh my.
I lost my dad a month and a half ago, and it was very hard for me because I can't go back to Cuba.
Yes.
I actually escaped from Cuba. But how I started, you know, be like a ballet dancer is because of him. He worked in the Garcia Lorca Theater in Havana, Cuba, since he was 15. And he always one of his kids, you know, be like an artist. We are in my family. We are five brothers and one sister.
Okay.
And two of my brothers, they were taking ballet class in Cuba. But for many reasons, you know, they couldn't go on, you know. And I was the only one that finished the whole career.
Okay, now, how old were you when you started?
Nine.
Nine.
Yeah.
And your brothers had already tried and not somehow succeeded.
Right.
And so,
So my dad was like a big support for me. He was working in backstage, helping with the lights, with the set, everything.
Yes.
He was very...
So he was in love with the theater?
Yes, always.
And he wanted one of his children?
One of the issues. Actually, before I start to take ballet class, in Havana, they were doing like an opera, and they need kids.
Uh-huh.
So my dad, of course, take me to go to the audition, you know, and I was pretty young, 7.
Right.
And then I did the audition, and it was very funny because they need kids for one scene in the second act. I remember that.
Yeah.
That was a lady, you know, singing, and then she was kind of dreaming. And all the kids, we had to run around her. And I was big. You know, oh my God, now I'm kind of tall, but when I was a child, oh my God, I was like
big
boy, yeah.
Not saying big as in tall, he's saying big as in broad.
Yeah, because the thing is like with dancers, you know, we actually talk with our hands.
So yes, no, I know, but
you know,
on radio I need to tell them that you're saying broad,
right.
Not saying
yeah,
right.
Yeah. So in this, you know, in this part, she had to leave. You know, one of the kids. And they first think in me, but in the rehearsal, she was trying to lift me, but we fall together, and everybody was laughing. So they decide to change that part,
right.
And I was doing one of the sculptors, you know, in one part, in another moment, in that opera. But it was the first time that I put my foot, you know, on the stage when I was only 7 years old. And I remember being that rehearsal, you know, with the lights and everything. Like, I was kind of dizzy, you know, with all the lights on the stage.
Yes, yes, yes.
I remember being on the floor, and I was kind of reading a book. So I was pretty, like, freeze, you know. Like,
yes.
Frozen. Yeah, frozen. And then, but when the scene finished, everyone, you know, broke their position, and they start to go off the stage.
Right.
But I was so afraid to move that I stayed there, like, for, like, a long, I don't know, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And everyone was laughing, and everyone was like, you can go now. I was like, no way.
Wow.
No way, I got to stay here. And I remember my dad on the wings, you know.
Yes.
Telling me, like, Octavio, come here now. So it was funny for me because I was so afraid to move. I was, like, just, like...
Yes, you were trying to do it so well.
Yes,
yes,
something
yes, yes.
like that. But
and you remember so much of it. It was
big experience,
right? It seems to me that what you're saying is that you remember the feeling.
Yes, yes, all that is inside.
In your heart.
Yes,
yes, yes.
All
yes.
that experience.
Yes, yes.
So actually, you know, when my dad bring me to take the audition for the ballet school in Havana, we were kind of like 120 boys,
right?
And they only took 15. Of the boys.
Wow.
So it's a very, very hard audition to get to the school,
right.
To the ballet school in Cuba. So I was, you know, fortunately, you know, I get my spot, you know, and then that's how I start to take ballet class.
Now, I'm interested, your dad wanted one of his kids to be an artist, but there are lots of other arts. I mean, he could have wanted an actor or a writer or a, you know, I mean, a director. Why did he settle?
I think because he was a big fan of Alicia Alonso.
Ah.
He told me so many stories, you know, that when she was dancing Giselle, the ballet Giselle, in Cuba on the stage, they have like elevator. On the second act, when Giselle go to the grill, you know, when she go to die, it's very strong moment because if you are sitting in the audience, you see how this person is going on the floor because it's an elevator.
Going down.
And I remember my dad told me about he always was fighting to get that spot to help Alicia Alonso in the elevator because he always told me, Octavio, when Alicia Alonso danced, you know, when she was dancing, she looks like she was a spirit, you know, she was amazing, she was an angel. So I think that's why he was very interested, you know, to get one of his kids, you know, to be a professional dancer.
But not the daughter.
Not the daughter. Well, the thing is, like, can you imagine 5 brothers and 1 sister?
Yeah.
She's very strong. She was just very, very strong. I think from the beginning she was like, no, I'm not a ballet dancer. But then, my dad just... You know.
So he lucked out and he got 1 out of 6.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he actually was so exciting, you know,
yeah.
So proud of me when I get promoted to principal dancer. Actually, in exactly that year, he decided to retire.
Ah.
Retired, you know, from work. So in that way, he can come and enjoy the show.
And want to see you whenever you dance.
Yes, no backstage.
In the audience.
So he decided to retire. So from that moment, I remember him always being in the audience, you know, support me, you know, all the shows.
Yes.
You know. Even if he couldn't get to some of the shows, he always was there backstage, you know, giving me like, okay, I'm here. Okay, let's go.
Now you haven't mentioned, did your mother also support this, or did she?
Well, my mother supported me, of course, you know, but she was very busy
with
all the kids,
right.
and she was working that hard, I mean, so hard at home, you know, always taking care that I don't miss anything, and I have everything to go to the school, so, of course, but she was so busy, and also... because all that work, you know, at home and all that, made her like a weak, you know, person.
Yes,
so,
yes.
You know, she had many ill problems
and all that.
So in that way, she couldn't go to the show that many times,
my
dad, that he was more involved, you know, in the theater. But of course, both, they are very, very...
And so did your siblings mind that you were the one, or were they glad that somebody was the one, or...
No, I just...
They didn't care?
No, of course they cared. I mean, they were so proud. I mean, when I get to be principal dancer, and wow. And I was with the National Ballet for Cuba for more than that 12 years.
Wow.
So in that 12 years, I didn't get to principal dancer right away. Like some of dancers, you know, they maybe... Example, I know some dancers that when they get to... companies, they get promoted very easy, like right away. But in my career, you know, all my promotions are being like, because I'm a hard worker.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I started in the Cuban Ballet, like core ballet, and then a year and a half after that, I was promoted to Corifeo, and then to Solis, and then Senior Solis, and then the principal dancer, and then in the Cuban Ballet, there is one category that is the primo ballerino, that is more on the top. I get to that position five.
So you climbed the ladder.
Yeah.
You get to that position five. You started to say five.
Five years I was a principal dancer with the Cuban Ballet.
Wow.
Before I move here I take the decision to change my life. Yeah.
Okay, I have a question. You know, in the United States, ballet dancing is not really considered a masculine thing. Is that not true in Cuba? I mean, I was interested to hear you say there were 120 boys trying to get into the ballet company.
Well,
so is it...
Well, in Cuba, the thing is that Alicia Alonso, she's very focused, you know, in create male dancers, you know, that dance masculine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the good critics, you know, about the Cuban ballet is exactly about that. How in the company, when you see boys dancing, you know, they dance like men.
Yes,
you know?
They dance like men.
And that's one of the, you know, great things about the Cuban company. That, and I think it's because Alicia also, when they do the audition to get to the school, they really take care of the boys, how they move, how they act, you know, because they think like, you know, you can do with your life whatever you want to be, you know.
Yeah.
If you are gay, you know, it's fine, it's exactly, you know, you do with your life whatever you want. But when you are on the stage, you have to dance like a man.
Right.
Yeah. Because that is, in my opinion, is, you know, when you see male dancers, you know, dancing like girls, you know.
Yes.
it's something that is, I mean, I really enjoy when I see ballet dancers, male dancers dancing like men, you know.
It's
something that the people really, really enjoy.
That's really interesting. That is a really interesting twist. Because, of course, as I said, you know, here, we don't encourage boys to consider themselves as dancers, so you wouldn't get very many masculine boys.
I'm fighting with all that. You know, when I go to some school, when I have a chance to talk to some boys, you know, even if the other day I remember I went in the daycare where is my daughter, and I saw this kid, this boy, like 9 years old, doing a split in the floor. And he was like, hey, look what I can do.
Yeah.
And he do a split and all that. I was like, oh my God, this boy should come to take ballet class.
Yeah.
So I had like a big chat, you know, a long chat with her mom, with his mom, about, because most of the problem is their part. You know, the parents think that if they bring the boys to ballet class, the boys start to act like girls.
Right.
And that's completely wrong.
Right.
So I'm trying to, now that I have the chance to work more with the students, now that I'm more involved in the Sarasota Ballet School, so every time when I have a chance, I'm trying to explain, not just the kids, to the parents, that is completely wrong if they think that bringing the boys are going to start to act like girls. That's completely wrong.
This is a mission. This is why you're here.
Yeah, it's just it's something that... right now, we are in the summer program. And actually, we have one class just for boys.
Ah.
In that class, I teach them, you know, the steps that the male dancers have to practice, you know. Because I know that many, many times what happens is, like, in the class, there are, like, 23 girls.
Right.
And only one or two boys.
Right.
So the combination in the class is they're more creative for girls, for ballerinas.
Yes.
But the boys have to work in a different way. Of course, you know, we have to make stronger our legs, you know. With the girls, it's different. The girls have to have strong their legs, of course, but the line of their girls, the legs have to be longer, you know. With a male dancer, you have to work in making strong the legs because we have to
shout.
Yeah, and the arms, you know. So in the class of the boys' class, it's not just about ballet. We actually work in physical conditioning just for male dancers, where they have to do a lot of push-ups, they have to do the things that we need in the moment that we go to partner, you know, a girl. So I'm really working very hard to change the mind, you know, of that people who think that ballet is only for girls.
I'm really serious that this is a kind of a mission. I mean, it would be much more difficult for an American man to do this than a Cuban man, because it's natural for you.
Yeah.
Right? You were raised in a place where it's good to be a masculine male dancer.
Yes.
Now, an American man, even if he was a ballet dancer, even if he was heterosexual, he was raised in a culture where that wasn't really all right. And that's always a part of him.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. No, if it's for me, I will fight all my life to change that. We actually trying to get boys to be interested, you know, in come to take a few ballet class. Maybe they don't need to come and stay, you know, but they should come and try. And also I'm trying to see how we can bring the parents to watch, you know, some of the classes of the company.
Mm-hmm.
So they can see the male dancers, you know, how we work, you
yes,
know.
Yes, yes, yes.
So in that way, maybe they change and they think, you know, they take the chance to bring their kids.
Okay, so you heard it first. If you have a boy who looks like he has talent to dance, come to Sarasota and let him study here with Octavio.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Please.
All right, now, so let's get to the story. So you're here, and of course you've already said you can't go home, so please tell me, how did that happen?
Oh my gosh, this is like a little bit long story.
It doesn't matter.
You know, well, like I said, you know, after 12 years, you know, traveling the whole world with the Cuban National Ballet, being in great scenarios, great theaters around the world, you know, in front of the company, I find out that I had no future at all in Cuba, you know, like a person. You know, after all that years, you know, I didn't have even the chance to buy a car, let's say. To you know, the situation in Cuba right now is even worse, you know, after 6 years. But I remember in that moment it was so bad. I mean, I had no money. Sometimes I get home and I had just to eat rice, because there's nothing. I mean, there's no food, no money.
And to you're get, working so
to
hard.
To get to the ballet company, I remember I had a bicycle. And then the problem with the bicycle, after running a bicycle like for 45 minutes, when you go to take ballet class, your muscles are so tired that you can't work that you want to work, you know.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the buses, you know, the transportation were so bad that I had to go to work in the bicycle.
Yeah.
So when I get, I mean, it's an excellent exercise, but when you have to do that 3 or 4 times in one day by 45 minutes, you know, riding the bicycle for miles to get to work and then go back, that is very, very hard.
Yeah.
So I you know, I was like, what can I do with my life? You know, the life doesn't stop, and you get older.
Yes.
I wish, every time when someone asks me, how old are you?
Yeah.
I say, I'm 17, because I'm going backward.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't want to get older, but you know how it's life. You know,
yeah.
You can't stop.
No.
So.
No, and let me just make sure I understand what you're saying. You're saying that even in your prime, when you're a principal dancer,
mm-hmm.
You're not making any money.
Right.
And you're going to get older and not be able to be a principal dancer, and then what the hell are you going to do?
The only money that we get, you know, was when we went in tour, during a tour, because they pay in dollars, American dollars. So. But the thing with that is, like, even if I get paid, like, I don't know, like $35 daily, that $35 were for to buy food, you know, during the tour. What the dancer have to do is from that money, you know, save all money possible to bring to Cuba and then live, you know, with that money. So you have to do so many sacrifices. You know, sometimes you have to just eat crackers and tuna, because you have to save as much money possible during the tour and then bring that money to Cuba so you can live in Cuba with that money. But it's just terrible. So I was like, wow, what am I going to do with my life? So in that moment, you know, when I was, you know, in all this process that I don't know what to do, I was performing, you know, in a ballet festival in Havana, Cuba. And I was doing Swan Lake. I was doing the lead role in Swan Lake. And after the show, one man, you know, this guy come to me and asked me, are you Octavio Martin? I was, yes. And he asked me to drink a coffee with me. I was like, yeah, why not? Let's sit and talk. And then he was like, do you want to go to the Royal Winnipeg Ballet and do Nutcracker production with us? I was like, what? To the Royal Winnipeg Ballet? Of course, yes. And so he was a ballet master in the Royal Winnipeg Ballet. He was watching the show, the performance. So after the show, he proposed me, you know, to go to Canada mm-hmm. and dance with the Royal Winnipeg Ballet. So I was like, yes. Mm-hmm. I didn't even think about
no.
it. I was like, yes, I want to go.
Yes.
So, and then we did everything about passport, you know. And then in that moment, Alicia Alonso, you know, in Cuba, you have to get one permit to get off, you know, to get out of Cuba. It's not like here that if you have the money, you go to the airport, you buy the ticket,
right.
and you fly. No, in Cuba, you can't do that.
You need permission?
You need permission in your passport. You need a permission to get off.
Wow.
If not, you can't.
Can't go. Yeah.
So Alicia Alonso, she's like the prima donna of Cuba. So she have to give you a permit so you can go and do the guesting.
Right.
In that moment, she signed, you know, she was like, yes, Octavio, you can go and do the guesting by 1 month. Okay, I was there 1 month, I did my show, and the director of the Royal Winnipeg Ballet, Andres Lewis, he was so happy, you know, to have me dancing with the company, that he called me again to do another Nutcracker and also Sleeping Beauty with the Royal Winnipeg Ballet. So after the second time when I went in Canada, he was like, no, look, Octavio, I want you here. I want you here like principal dancer of my company. And then I was like, well, listen, the only thing is like my girlfriend in that moment, that who is my wife now, my girlfriend is in Cuba. And she's a ballet dancer too in the company. And I don't want to be away from her. And he was like, don't worry about it. I have a core ballet contract for her and a principal for you.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, I'm going to Cuba and talk to Alicia about this.
Right.
Because it's a chance for me to start a new life,
yeah.
you know, in another country. Maybe hard, you know, to change all that. But it was an opportunity for me to start a new life, you know, with another opportunity.
Yeah, yeah.
Not just like a person, also like an artist. Because in Cuba, what we do is only Alicia Alonso version of all that ballet, Swan Lake. But when you move to other company, you can explore more. You can do contemporary ballets, modern. You know, it's more big, you know.
Yes. And they get different directors to come
right.
in, and they have different visions.
Yes, right.
right.
So I go back to Cuba, and I went to this meeting with Alicia about, please give me the permit to go with Jaima, who is now my wife, to go to Canada. And she was like, no, I don't give you the permit, and don't think about give the permit to Jaima. So I was really upset, you know, after all this year working with her, and she didn't give me the chance to,
right.
you know, and she know all my situation, my economy, you know.
Right. Right.
Economy situation in Cuba was so bad. She know about all
yeah.
that. But she didn't want me to like...
No, she was just being selfish.
Yes, keeping me in the
right.
company. So I was trying to get the permits from her like 3 or 4 times. So we were stuck in the company in
yeah.
Cuba. We
right.
couldn't get out of there. We were doing tours, you know, together, my wife and me. And then we went in Mexico in 2005. And then I remember in that room in the hotel. We were drinking some wine. And then we were thinking, what we can to do? Well, I mean, you know, we have to do something with our life. You know, we are married, you know, we just want to be happy. We want to explore.
And you want to work.
Yes, right. So in that room that night, we decided to risk everything and cross the border and came here to United States and see what happened. It was kind of crazy decision, because even our family, they didn't know about our decision. And we know how hard and sad it was for them, you know, especially when they don't know.
Right.
Especially when they don't know that we are taking that decision to take a bus at 11:30 at night, 27 hours to the border in Texas to cross, you know, it's a crazy...
Wait, stop. Where were you in Mexico?
In Villahermosa, Mexico. It's very in the south of Mexico.
Okay.
Doing a festival, a ballet festival.
Right.
Where I was doing a Don Quixote, the ballet. And then after I finished my last performance with the company, was that night, you know, that we were talking about take a decision.
Right.
And then we wait at night when no one was in the lobby on the hotel. Because that is another thing. When we travel with a company, we don't know exactly who is. But they send always someone
to watch.
To watch.
Yeah.
You know, like security, like
yes.
The government, the Cuba send
yes.
someone.
To make sure nobody does what you
yes.
did. Right.
So we had to wait and escape
oh
at
God.
Night from the hotel to the bus station to buy the ticket, to buy the bus ticket. And then we go back that night. We couldn't sleep at all.
No bad.
And next morning, we get to the breakfast like nothing happened.
Right.
We were sharing, you know, we were talking with the rest of the company.
Right.
Everything to looks like normal.
Right.
So, and then that's another thing. We had to let everything in the room.
I was just going to say, you didn't take anything.
Anything, because if they see you, you know, with your bag.
Bag, right. They
they're like, what? Where are they going?
So you went with the clothes on your back.
And that's it.
Oh my God.
With, I remember have in my pocket like $25 or $27. That's it.
Oh God.
Yeah, I know. It was like crazy, but I had no option. Believe me, it was like, that's it. There's no coming back. And then that morning, we get to the bus station. We took the bus. We took 27 hours of that bus going
right.
from Villahermosa to the border. That 27 hours, three times the police come into the bus to ask about papers. About, you know, thank God, well, we had visa to be in Mexico.
In Mexico.
But, you know, the police in Mexico know when they
right,
when they find people on the bus, you know, going to north.
Right.
It's because they want to try to
get
cross.
Out.
Yeah.
Right.
And then we have these two rear guys, you know, sit behind us. So every time the police come into the bus, they just run straight to these two guys behind me. You know, they were sit behind and they were rear looking.
Oh, weird looking.
Yeah.
Oh,
so the police go straight to them. So, yeah,
and you look very normal.
We were, we pretended that we were sleeping.
You're right.
You know.
Right.
So, but anyway, it was very scary.
Ah.
And then we get to the border and then we cross the bridge. Yeah. Walking like nothing. And
oh, you get to the border of Mexico and Texas and you walk across the bridge?
Yes. Yeah.
To Texas?
Yes. And then when we get to the border, to the immigration or, you
right.
know, they ask about what you want or, you know,
right.
I was like, well, I want asylum politics, you know, politics.
Political
asylum. And then they were like, well, you don't know who you are. And then when I explained that I was a principal dancer, you know, an artist and all that, they was very, very nice with us.
Really?
Know? Yeah, we were so hungry without money. We were traveling 27 hours, nothing, eating nothing, drinking nothing.
Oh.
So they give us sandwich, a coca, you know.
Yes.
So, and then they give us a permit, you know, to be in the United States. Waiting for our work permits and then the green card.
Right.
So, and then the thing is, like, when we crossed the border, we had to take another bus 36 hours to get to Miami.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, was really, really...
awful.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And without money, the thing is, like, the only money that I had with me was to pay that two tickets to go to Miami.
Right.
And then we just went in, every time when the bus stopped, you know, in the gas station, we just run in and we ask, please, can you give me a little bit of Pepsi or something?
Right.
And thanks God, you know, I think Lord always went in with me, you know. Was very nice people, you know. Every time when I explained them that I had no money at all, that if they can give me something, like something to drink,
right.
They always give me like Coca-Cola or Pepsi,
mm-hmm,
you know.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, we were just drinking
soda
during 36
My
hours.
God.
So when I get
sugar and caffeine, yes, only just go so far.
So when I get to Miami, where I have two brothers.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know that.
Yes, I had two brothers who live in they live in Miami. They were waiting in the bus station for us.
You called them or
yes,
something?
Yes,
right?
I called them. And then when we get there, Jaime and me, we were like completely
exhausted
and without eating nothing. We
right.
were just completely. And then I started, you know, to send my curriculum vitae.
You know, what?
I started to send by computer, by emails, you know,
right.
to all the companies in the United States, my curriculum, my vitae.
Your resume. Right.
Yeah, I started to send all my resume to all the companies by email. I was doing some guestings, you know, in Miami.
Right.
Dancing with the schools, you know, to getting some money.
Right.
And then to pay, you know, all the travel expense, you know, to do the auditions in
right.
the company.
Oh.
So, and then I received, you know, we went in Colorado Valley. We went in Orlando Valley. And we went in another company, was Cincinnati Valley.
Mm-hmm.
In that three companies, we had the chance, you know, with that money that I made, you know, doing guestings, I pay my airplane.
Your travel.
My travel.
Right.
And then we were, you know, staying in houses of Cuban dancers, you know, that they're in that companies. And for some reasons, you know, sometimes they have no contract, you know, for more dancers. Sometimes, well, for many reasons, we couldn't get any job
right.
in that three companies.
Right.
And then I go back to Miami, where I received this email from Robert De Warrant,
uh-huh.
who was artist director here,
right.
and then asked me if I am interested to come here to Sarasota and do audition, because he need male dancers
mm-hmm.
in that moment. So I was like, yes, I'm going to Sarasota. The only problem is like I didn't know anyone here in Sarasota.
Not very many Cuban dancers here in Sarasota.
Right. So the thing is like I hear that one Cuban dancer was dancing with a company, but he was retired. So I was trying to find his phone number and
right.
all that. I get it. But the thing is, like, he was busy in that days. So when I came here to Sarasota to take the audition, we came here in the bus.
From Miami.
Mm-hmm. But the problem was when we went in... like 1 hour and a half here going south.
Naples.
That was like around 9:30 at night, the bus just stopped in Naples.
There you are.
Yep. And tell us, okay, the next bus is coming tomorrow at 7:30 in the morning.
Oy.
So we went like, no one tell us that.
Yeah, that's right.
And the chauffeur, you know, the boss, I'm sorry, I don't know, I can't do nothing. We finish here. We are in Naples.
And
tomorrow
here, right.
you can go to Sarasota.
Right.
So we tried to get into the bus station, but they told us, no, you can't sleep here. They closed the door, and we had to sleep that night outside the bus.
Oh, my God.
Outside the bus station. It was really scary.
I bet.
You know, it was cold. It was actually November.
Aye.
So we were sleeping outside the bus station all night. And then the next day at 7:30 came this bus, you know, we took the bus and we get here to Sarasota, where I have the audition class at 9:30.
Oh, God.
So I was just like running from the bus station. Boom, 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 boom.
You're not in the best shape for your audition.
Yeah. But, you know, again, thanks God, you know, I could take the class,
yeah.
and Robert De Warren called me to his office, and he told me, Octavio, I want you in the company.
Oh.
I have a solid contract for you. So I was like, yes,
yes.
God, whatever. I just need to start to work.
Right.
In that moment, I had nowhere to live.
Right.
I had no money at all.
Right.
I was just on the street, nothing. without nothing at all.
Right.
So this Cuban that he is a painter now, and his family, they are very nice people, and they let Jaime and me stay, you know, at their house, you know, for like around 1 month.
Wow.
You know, they were like many people in the house. They had their parents and all that. The only place that they can give us was in the garage, you know. So I moved all the boxes and all the things to the side. I remember they bring me to Walmart, and then I bought this air bed. So we were sleeping on the floor like 1 month and a half until I get my first paycheck.
Right.
So when I get my first paycheck, we just find one little apartment where we start to rent. And, you know, working very hard and giving, you know, all my energy and my love, you know,
yes,
for be dancing. That's how I started to work. And then I was a senior soloist, you know, that years after, working very hard, you know, every time. I remember being in rehearsal, you know, all day, working hard to get lead roles,
yes,
you know,
yes,
in the ballets. So in like that, I started to get leading roles, you know, and I was promoted to senior soloist, and then came Ian Webb. And then when Ian Webb came, you know, of course, for me was really scary, because I had my job with Robert De Warren, but
right,
I didn't know
right
if I, you know, I would stay dancing with Ian Webb. But the thing was that, you know, when he came, he called me, and he was very excited to work with me, and me too, you know. And when he told me, Octavio, I have this ballet, you know, that I want to bring here. When I start to hear all that ballet, you know, that I never thought in my life doing, you know, ballets that actually are like masterpieces, you know,
yeah,
from the Royal Ballet, like Rex Progress, like Checkmate. Oh my God, I was like, wow, I think I'm in the right place in the right moment.
Mm-hmm.
So I started to work with Ian Webb, and after a year working with him, he called me to his office and he told me, Octavio, you are principal dancer.
Oh, God.
I almost cried. It was hard for me to hold crying. Even if, yeah, some people say men don't cry. But because you know what happened? I was a principal dancer with the Cuban Ballet. But then after all that, you know, changed in my life, actually my wife get pregnant, you know, 3 months after we crossed the border, she get pregnant. So can you imagine all that stress?
Yes,
you know, I was
yes
almost, we didn't know what to do. Oh my God, what can I? And I told my wife, you know what, don't worry. We're going to have our baby, and if I have to clean the street, I will clean the street. If I have to work, whatever, I will make money to raise my daughter. So don't worry, I will do it. And then like that, and I think my daughter bring us a very good luck too, because I remember that was like 2 or 3 days after she burned, you know. She was born. After 3 days, that's when I get promoted and all that. So everything, you know, is made, you know, like kind of
yes
great things and beautiful after all that problems, you know, in my life. And or that I think I find here in Sarasota like the second home for me.
Yes, yes.
And I find so many nice people that support me so much, you know. In every show that I do, you know, feel that energy from the people, you know, in the audience, how they love the art here
mm-hmm
in Sarasota, how they like what we're doing here. It's just the best, you know, award for me. You know, that is the best. And, you know, I think right now, Jaima, my wife, because, you know, in the moment when she was trying to get back in shape and all that to start to dance, she had a baby. But now with Ian Webb, he actually gave her a great opportunity that not many ballet dancers have, and that is teach, you know, in a ballet company.
Yes.
And actually she get promoted last year to be assistant of ballet mistress. So she's very happy with that, and she really enjoy be a ballet mistress, you know, in the company, and work with all these amazing teachers, you know, like, and repetitors, like Margaret Barbieri, Ian Webb's wife, and many others that can come here every season to work with us, you know, to teach all that great ballet, I think. You know, and I'm thinking, in what other place, you know, if you think, like, Sarasota Ballet right now is, I think it's the only company in the United States that we are doing all that ballet.
Yes.
Oh, no, it's amazing.
It's an amazing repertoire here. Yes, it is. But what I guess what I want to say is, if anybody deserves this, it's you and she. I mean, you risked everything. And one would hope that such risk would be rewarded, and in your case, it absolutely was, right?
Yeah, it was. I mean, we worked so hard.
Yes, you did. And it's not only that you worked so hard, it's that you risked so much, that you took such a huge chance, that you experienced such hardship to try and get it. It's amazing.
Yeah, and what is amazing for me, too, is find Sarasota. I don't remember hear about Sarasota before.
It's not well known.
It's something that, and then when I remember one of the first days, you know, working in the company, we were walking back to the apartment where we were living. In that moment, of course, we didn't have the money yet to buy a car. But just a little bit, one step by other one. I like to think always, like, even when we are in very bad moments, you know, we trying always to keep going and go over, you know, and say that tomorrow is going to be a new day, and let's work hard, let's give us, you know, another chance to get it. So in that moment, we were just walking, and we were walking in back here on the theater, that street, go around, you know, that have like very nice parks and all that, and also you can see
the water.
Mm-hmm. So I remember my wife told me, Octavio, look this place. I remember you told me once in Cuba, you know, I will always want to be in if I have to move to another country, I would love to be close to the water and close to the green, to the trees. And she told me, Octavio, look where we are. And it's like one of the dreams coming true.
Yeah, yeah.
And right now, like I said, you know, we are working with, not just with the company, with the school. We are giving all our energy and knowledge.
Yes.
To make Sarasota, you know, in one of the stronger city in the arts. We are trying to give us, you know, we give to Sarasota all what we have, you know, to make this city the stronger city in Florida about culture, art, and all that.
Well, certainly what makes Sarasota what it is people like you. I want to just spend a little time saying how sorry I am about your father,
yeah,
and how awful that must have been for you.
Big loss, yeah.
Because they can't come here and you can't come there, right?
And actually, you know, I said this that I'm going to tell you now in one luncheon that we had to raise money for the company for the season. And I told them, I hope you enjoy. I did Otello.
Uh-huh.
Otello is a beautiful ballet. And I did Otello here with the Sarasota Ballet. And the thing was that the last show of Otello was right the night after my dad passed away.
Oh, my gosh.
The night before the show, I received this call from Cuba telling me about my dad. And, of course, I was completely broken.
Yes.
I was, like, devastated. I mean, completely down. But I said to myself, you know what, the show
must go on, right?
Because, you know, I have to go to the stage and I have to give to the people all my art and my ballet. You know, I can't cancel my performance. I can't call Ian Webb and tell him, you know, I can't do the show because my dad passed away. No. And I think that way I'm making even prouder.
Yes.
Of being.
Yes.
So I did that show with all that, you know, happening inside of me. And I told them, the people who were there in that luncheon, I hope you enjoy my performance, you know, last night, because my dad passed away. So it was like an honor.
Yes.
To him.
And, I think you must be a living legacy to him. Because what you've done, I mean, it's not only that you have made yourself into a principal dancer every place you've gone, but the courage, the risk, the commitment to a better life, to art, and that mostly you just want to give it away. I think that you are a legacy of his. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, I know. And I think so. I.
Yeah, you don't have to say anything. I think that the best work of his life, right?
Yeah, it's...
Is you.
But I know that he is always with me. And
yes.
Not just with me, with my wife, with my daughter, that he was crazy to see her in person. But unfortunately, I can't go back to Cuba.
No, of course not.
I'm trying now. I'm a resident now, but I want to be an American citizen.
And we want you.
And I will apply next August,
mm-hmm,
to be an American citizen. And then I will go to Cuba like American citizen, so they can't...
keep you.
Yes.
Right.
They can't do nothing. You know, they can't hold me there. So I just want to go back to see, I can see my mom, you know. And,
right.
And also they are crazy to you know, to see Aranza. That is the name of my daughter,
of
Aranza.
So, of course, of course.
So I'm going to do that. We're going to apply to be American citizen in August, you know, because I think, you know, what I want to do in my life is keep working in ballet, you know, give... The truth is, you know, we're getting older. I can't change that. I remember in one of the interviews that I had, they asked me, okay, what is the most challenger for you, you know, the most, like a dancer?
Right.
And my answer was trying to stop the time so I don't get old and I have to stop dancing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very, very hard decision, I think. Right now, I'm not ready yet to stop dancing, you know. Even if I'm 17, you know, I feel that the time doesn't stop.
No,
and
no.
I have to...
You still can, right? Yeah?
Yeah. So, what I... You know, I'm seeing myself in the future, just, you know, give the new generation of dancers all my experience and all that. I hope, I really hope to stay here in Sarasota, you know, the rest of my life. I love this city.
I
really love, you know, every time. And raise my daughter here,
mm-hmm,
I think is the best things that can happen in my life, you know. I think this is a beautiful city, a beautiful people living here,
mm-hmm,
you know, people who support the art that I'm, you know, this is a small city and it's incredible how the people are like supporting that much. Every corner that you go, you see paintings and art everywhere. That's amazing. And you know, in other words, I love to be close to the water. And in Sarasota we have so many beaches, you know.
Like, yes, there's water everywhere.
And every time when I have a break, I take my daughter, and she loves to play in the sun, you know. So I think I really want to stay here, you know, and working with the Sarasota Ballet forever. Of course, that depends on many
Yes, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Yes.
Because what we know about you, and maybe this is a good place to stop, is that whatever you need to do, whenever the time comes, that you will do it. Right?
Yeah, right.
Thank you so much. This was just amazing.
Thank you.
So aware, as all of us are, of the march of time, of the inability to hold it back, of the fact that we will age and the things that we have been able to do, we will not be able to do. And aware of this so passionately as a very young man, and knowing that age will take from him the thing that is the most important, the thing that defines him, his ability to dance. You know when you hear this that this is a man who found very early in life what it was that made him himself, and that is to dance. And one of the things that Octavio has found as a way to keep him and dance alive and together is to offer to young dancers his passion, his dream, his delight, and especially to young boys, to let them know that a man can be a man and still be a dancer. It's a mission for Octavio, and we are so grateful to have him in Sarasota and to offer this to the boys who are lucky enough to find their way to him. So, that I didn't want to edit any of that extraordinary story, and so I don't have very much more time in this show. Just enough time really to thank, as I always do, Josh Hackney, who makes the possibility of this show possible, who will walk me through stuff on the phone, show up, fix things, explain things, show me how to do things, and is always there when I have run out of my own skills. And tell you that you can reach Josh and also me at my website, thelynneshow.com, thelynneshow, and say, as I always do, that I hope that you heard something that interested you today. I'm sure that you heard something inspiring, something compelling, something surprising. And I hope that that something will bring you back next week when I will be here, same time, same station. And I sure hope you will be, too.
You see, I'm getting older. My hair is turning gray. Oh, you see my face and figure. I've both seen better days. Well, I won't be retiring. I won't slip out of sight, no. I will not go gentle into that good night. I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. Life's a song I keep on singing, not a tune that I once sang. I just keep returning like some goddamn boomerang. I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. See that I have had my shot. My time has come and gone. Oh, won't I please get off the stage? Let someone else get on. Well, I won't be relegated. Oh, a fight, no. I will not go gentle into that good night. I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. Life's a bell I keep on ringing, not a chime that I once rang. You may think it's unseemly. Well, dang, no, I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. Rising from the ashes every chance I get. I may be running out of time, but it ain't over. Sister Phoenix, we won't give up the flight, no, no. We will not go gentle into that good night. And I won't go with a whimper. I'm going with a bang. Life's a song I keep on singing, not a tune that I once sang. I may not be as juicy, hell, but I still got